Business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV on Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. It's exactly 10 minutes past the hour of 12 on this very rainy Tuesday here in Israel. Apparently the summer, see, weather in South Africa has not abated. It's really hot. And I hope you're really enjoying it and, understanding that the winter's on its way, autumn's coming, and to make hay while the sun's shining, so to speak. But on a sadder note, today is day 165 of the war in Gaza. The death toll is 1,200. We still have 134 hostages in the Gaza terror dungeons. And wounded, we have 14,793. I want to start the show by saying that yesterday was one of the most painful days that I personally have had in my life. I did not attend the funeral of Daniel Perez, Hashem Yikom Damo, for personal reasons. My son Hanan was there. I watched it at home on the live feed. And thank you to the Perez family for making that available to us to see the pain that the family is going through. Is something that even I and my family, who've been victims of Hamas, find difficult to comprehend. How the body of Daniel is still not resting in the holy soil of Israel. It's not in that sacred ground on Mount Herzl, Har Herzl. It's being held by Hamas in Gaza. There is nothing more obscene and dehuman than a scenario like that. All we as Jews want around the world is peace. But now we are demanding that all our hostages come home. Hamas lays their arms down and the threat to our border ceases. And that's where we stand. It's the first time in Jewish history, in modern history, that Jews are making demands and not backing down when it comes to Israel. Because our enemies have shown us that they don't back down. They don't change. They are the same. They are deliberate. And we need to make sure that we keep our country safe. The cost is high. The cost is high of Jewish young men dying, families being bereft, people in Gaza suffering, and it needs to come to an end. But to keep the body of somebody who's no longer alive and not return it to their families is something that the human mind cannot conceive. I had a chat this morning to a client, asked me how things were going, expressed his disappointment at Israel, how people in Gaza are suffering, and I just let him speak, and we spoke around the issues. And towards the end of the conversation, I said to him, you know, there's one thing that I find is very strange about this conversation. You haven't mentioned our hostages once. And the conversation went very quiet. And he said to me, yes, but. And I said, there are no buts. These were people taken from a sovereign country into a terrorist regime. There's no buts. Return them immediately. And then everything else will fall into place. The fact that the psyche of the world is not there, the fact that the moral compass of the world is so broken that the reason for our invasion of Gaza is not even brought up in conversation. dazzles the mind of straight thinking and people of moral and conscience. The internet's ablaze with everything that I'm saying, and it's also ablaze with discussions from the other side. And as Rabbi Peres so bravely said yesterday, return our hostages, lay your arms down, hand over Sinwar and his cronies, and the war will stop immediately. There will be no grinding to a halt. It will come to an abrupt halt. And then we can start the process of allowing civilians to get back to their life. But to share something else that Rabbi Peres said yesterday, well, two things. The first was what he said about his wife, which I'm not going to repeat because I encourage you to go listen to it. I'm sure it's on YouTube. The homage that he paid to a Jewish mother, the Akeret HaBayit, the foundation stone of a Jewish home, is something that should be resonated around the world as to what a Jewish woman is all about. The fundamental, pivotal place of the Jewish woman in the Jewish home, and the responsibility that we as men have to appreciate the gift that we've been given, that our children grow up under the guidance and under the care of the Jewish mother, and not only the Jewish mother, but mothers around the world who bring up their children with love and care to make them into viable, or to mold them rather, into viable members of society across religions, across cultures, is what it's all about. And Rabbi Peres' words should be listened to. I encourage you to go and play the clip. The next thing that he mentioned was the similarity between dam, blood, and yayin, wine, and red wine in particular. He said the two are interconnected in Jewish faith. That blood at the circumcision of a young Jewish boy, blood is spilt. And it's all about the blood from the circumcision. But then we make a blessing over wine. Another example he gave was the story of the Exodus of Egypt. It was all about blood. It was all about young Jewish boys being killed by Pharaoh, the suffering, the bondage. And yet we celebrate it with four cups of wine. And then he bravely said that his family will get up from morning on the celebration 3 day of Purim, which is next week Sunday, the first day of the week. Purim will cut their morning short, and they will get up and they will celebrate the event of Purim. And the way it is celebrated traditionally and according to Jewish law is by wine, is by drinking and being merry. To be able to have said that shows the massive depth of fortitude of the family, and Rabbi and Mrs. Peres in particular, as matriarch and patriarch of their family. And I encourage everybody to celebrate Purim as a celebration of the of good over evil, of light over darkness. And when you charge your glasses, charge it that, please God, very, very soon, before Pesach, when we all sit down to celebrate our redemption from Egypt, the Peres family and all other families in Israel, and there are some families that are not going to be celebrating Pesach because they're not Jewish, who have loved ones still in those dungeons, will be able to lift up that glass with the sense that they are truly free because their loved ones have come home. Please God, we'll never start a show like that again, but I would be amiss not to mention the events of yesterday, and that in the future, I will be standing in the Lavi Forest in northern Israel, in the South African section of the forest where there's a memorial wall where my son's name is engraved as a victim of terror. And Daniel's name will also go on that wall. And please God, Daniel's name should be the last name on that wall. And that wall should remind us that the pain has come to an end and the suffering has come to an end. And to once again thank the South African Jewish community, South African Jewish Board of Deputies, the Zionist Federation, everybody else that has shown commitment to the cause. But as Jews, we expect that. What we really need to do is say thank you to those people who have stood by us, the Christian organizations, the average South African who has been magnanimous in the support of Israel. Thank you. Everyone who supports, we feel it. And all we want is just return to peace. And I look forward to going back to the Kotel next month and welcoming everybody who comes to visit, especially South Africans of all races, of all religions. Welcome to our holy city. Welcome to our holy site. And we welcome you in peace. Craig, let's take a quick ad break. And when we come back, let's go back to talking about money.
This is RV on Business.
Today's show has no guest, because what I'm doing, as I do from time to time, is I'm going through a few of the questions that have come through. What surprises me is the continuous questions about retirement planning. So what we're going to be doing this week and next week is a two-part series in retirement planning. This week, I'll be laying the groundwork as to how things work, what the structures are, what the laws are, what the taxes are. And next week, we'll be getting in an expert, a colleague of mine, Charlene Kinnear, and she's going to go through it practically how to put these steps into place. Retirement is something that concerns absolutely everybody. Even if you have been fortunate to grow up in a family that is very moneyed, moneyed, like everything else in life, is not finite. It has a limit. And as we get older, we might realize what the finality of the money is, that it, you know, till now it came on an endless stream, and now we see how deep that water really flows. On the other hand, like the majority of people, the thought of putting away for retirement is a compromise, because we need to take money away from something else that we desperately need on a day-to-day basis in South Africa. To paint the picture, South African scene is not that different to anywhere else in the world, but it does have a few unique items. If you had to ask the majority of South Africans, working South Africans, what their major expenses are as we stand today, you'll get these items in the top four. Number one is medical aid. The second one is schooling. The third one is the bundle of rates and taxes, lights and water, electricity, solar, whatever else you want to call it. And the fourth one is the bond that services the house that they live in. Very close behind that is food and getting by on a day-to-day basis. These are basics that South Africans can't live without. Not to have a medical aid that is functional in South Africa is very risky. There's definitely public health care. But for those of you who have used it or know people who have used it, understand its shortcomings. On the other hand, those who have medical aid are really afforded medical care that is up there with the best in the world. I've recently had reason to visit an Israeli hospital. I went to a private hospital and the care was phenomenal. But it's the same sort of quality of care that you'll get at a Lingsfield or a Santon clinic or any of those clinics that we or hospitals that we are used to going to in South Africa. We're very, very fortunate to have that. Those benefits we can't do away with. So it's the medical aid. The other thing is the cost of living in South Africa, the rates and taxes, electricity, the water, they're high. They might not be as high as other places in the world, but they are high, that they impact significantly on the cash flow of a family. And those things need to be taken into consideration. The bond's the bond. We can't do without it, especially with prices of property in South Africa today. The majority of people have bonds that they're really, really struggling to service. Maybe it's a good thing that in South Africa, the opportunity just to pay the interest on your bond and to leave the capital for a period of time is not something that's commonly and easily offered, is maybe a good thing, because it forces people to come down on the capital that they own, they owe the bank. But those things are things that we just cannot do without. Having said that, and those are only three of the four items I mentioned before, retirement savings is absolutely crucial, because going forward, even though you're going to downscale, the single biggest expense in retirement for most people is medical aid. There's no doubt about it. Two people on Classic Comprehensive, which is a plan that you'll find the majority of people who are retired are on, if they need day-to-day care, if they need in and out of different hospitalizations, if they are battling with certain health challenges, that's the plan they're on. You're looking 12,000, 13,000 Rand a month over there before you even turn around. If you had to do the calculation now, and there's many calculators out there, you can go into any of the insurance companies, any of the banks, choose retirement calculator, and use the default figures that they give you for inflation and for interest. You then go on and do a retirement calculation and see what you'll need for retirement, just in retirement, just to pay your medical aid. You will be absolutely floored as to the amount of zeros behind the front figure. There's going to be six zeros minimum in order for you to be able to retire at that stage. The secret is obviously to start early. The secret is obviously to allow the money to grow and have time to really be exposed to the markets so that it can maximize its potential, so to speak. The challenge is, as many people don't do that. Let's go back to step one when it comes to retirement savings. We all know the term pension, we all have heard the term provident, and we've all heard the term retirement annuity. We're not going to get into the mechanics of the tax differences between each one, but rather just for sake of simplicity, we'll lump them all together. And we'll simply say that in South Africa, if you contribute towards your pension, provident and retirement annuity, and you can have all three or one of the three or any combination thereof, you get a certain amount of tax that you can deduct. The amount is 27.5% of your gross income, up to a maximum of 350,000 Rand per year. So let's take round numbers just to make it easy. If you're earning 100,000 Rand a month before tax, you can put away 27.5% of that, which is 27,500, into a pension, a provident, and a retirement annuity, and it will be tax deductible. What does that practically mean? It means that if you take 100,000 Rand and you minus the 27,500, is going to give you 72,500. SARS, the South African Revenue Service, will tax you on 72,500 and not the full 100,000 Rand. So it lowers the amount that you'll be taxed. It might only come to fruition at the end of the year when you do your final tax. You might have to pay it out, so it affects your cash flow, and then you'll get your refund back from SARS at the end of the year of what you put in. One of the matters that confused people a lot is the 27.5% and the maximum of 350,000. Let's break it down. The first part, 27.5%, is what you can contribute towards retirement savings for a tax deduction. If you decide that you're going to put 50,000 Rand a month into retirement annuity, you can do that by all means. But only 27,500 of that will be tax deductible. The other portion will not be tax deductible on an annual basis. It can be carried forward to the end when you retire, But that's a discussion we get to later on in the show if we have time. The maximum of 350 means that if your taxable income, let's say you are earning 500,000 Rand a month, and therefore your tax deductible amount is about 13,750. And if you times that by 12, you only get, you know, that cannot be right. So 500,000 times 27.5% is 137,000. And you times that by 12, you get to 1.6 million. In other words, owning up to 350,000 will be tax deductible. So therefore, you can either make much smaller contributions that add up to 350, or make no contributions during the year, and once a year, put 350,000 Rand into a retirement annuity or a retirement product that will give you the tax deduction. The average person doesn't have that challenge of reaching the ceiling, unfortunately, of 350,000. They are trying to put away as much as they can, and even getting to the 27.5 is a big stretch. The question is, how do we do it? So there are two main categories of people when we look at this. The first are people who are employed and they automatically have a deduction to a pension or provident fund. And the other people are either people who are employed and don't have that benefit, or people who are self-employed and need to do it on their own steam. Let's talk about the first group for a while. If you're somebody who works in a job and you've got a pension and provident fund, these are the things you need to look out for. You signed a document when you joined the company. If you were lucky, someone sat down with you and explained that the document usually contains two sections. The one section is a risk section. If you pass away, it will be so much life cover. It's usually a factor of your income. So if you earn 100,000 Rand a month, your annual salary is 1.2 million. And if it's 1.2 million and you times it by, let's say, three times your annual salary, that's 3.6 million that your wife and the family or your estate will get when you pass away. It could be a similar amount for disability if you become totally and permanently disabled, or an income up until retirement age based on a percentage of your income. So those are the things that you would have when you joined the company. The other side is retirement savings. So much will be paid by you, so much will be paid by the company. Globally in South Africa, the average is about 14% in total, 7% paid by you, the employee, and 7.5% paid by the employer. The employer's part often includes maybe up to 3%, could be 4% that goes towards the retirement, to the risk side, the life cover, the disability, the funeral, the education, all that stuff that's built into that. So you might be saving 10, 11, 12% of your income towards retirement. The sad part is that this is where people fall short. They sign the document, they forget that they ever saw it, and they never look at it again. After 2 or 3 months, they get used to what comes into their bank account, and for them, that is their salary. They are not concerned as to what's being deducted towards retirement savings. They get mail documents maybe monthly, maybe quarterly, or maybe once a year. Most times they're not even opened. There's a session with the company that does your retirement savings. Most people don't attend. And then you turn around as retirement becomes a reality because it's less than 10 years away. And you say, well, why have I got so little? Well, you didn't even understand the mechanics of how much you were putting away, where it was invested, what the markets have been through, why didn't you change funds? And the answer is, well, no one came to me. And the truth is that companies did come to you because it's the law that they need to approach you. It's almost a scenario of taking a horse to water, but there's not much more you can do than that. So I'm really encouraging people to please be proactive. Speak to your HR. Say, guys, I signed a document a while ago. Who do I speak to about what's in it? And if you can't find somebody or you're not happy with that, take it to your personal financial planner. Get a printout and go down and sit down and look at it. It's not rocket science. It's something that we just need to be brave enough to look at and face, and then to be able to go on and make decisions. Where are your funds invested? The majority of funds in a big group scheme and a company scheme are invested in what we call life cycle or lifestyle funds. Those funds are funds that are dynamic and they change as you get older, as you get closer to retirement. So the easiest way to think about it is take your retirement age, and let's use 65 as an example. From 65 to 60, that fund of yours will be invested a majority in cash or bonds. In other words, places that you will get almost guaranteed returns. You'll get very little volatility. In other words, you get very little change in the value of your basket of money based on external factors like the markets, like politics, like the rand dollar exchange. And the only difference will be is the interest rate. What is the interest rate at the moment? You'll either be earning a higher interest rate or a lower interest rate. But in South Africa, you will always be earning an interest rate of some sort. It is cases, Japan, the UK in recent past history, where the interest rates were negative. If you had your money in the bank, they charged you to hold it. That's not the case here in South Africa. And then as you go further from retirement, the more risky the fund is, in other words, the greater portion it has in equities, invested directly in the market, and then you have greater volatility. So one could, after 1 year, put 30,000 Rand into the fund. When you check it in month 13, you say, hold on, I've put in 30. Was it worth 25? And that's because of market fluctuation and market movement. And that's something you need to understand. But at the same time, as it's gone down the basket of the value of money, you are buying the same units that make up that basket at a cheaper rate going forward. So ultimately, it will be to your advantage over time. That is how retirement funds are made up. A lot of companies do give you a choice to choose your own sort of funds. And unless you've got advice or you know what you're doing, you know, a lot of people shy away from that. We're coming up to an ad break. We need to take an ad break in the next 5 seconds. So let's do that. And when we come back and I read after the live read, we will discuss retirement annuities and how those work. Craig, let's take a quick break.
This is RV on Business.
Unfortunately, we are up against the clock. And to get into it, the whole concept of retirement annuities came around in the 1960s, where private individuals approached the then SARS and said, you know, if you work for a corporate, you get a tax break. But what happens if I want to save for my own retirement, but I don't work for a corporate? I don't get a tax break. And the RAF, the Retirement Annuity Fund, was born, and companies were now able to offer retirement products where individuals could take them out. You could buy them whether you were employed, whether you were not employed by a corporate and self-employed, but you had a tax deduction. That has grown and morphed over the years into different, with a different look and a different feel from a tax point of view. And most recently, your retirement annuity, your pension, and your provident funds have all been lumped together to give you 27.5% tax deduction. So what that means is that if you are in a pension-funded work and you're deducting 10% of your salary, so in other words, of 100, 10,000 is going to savings, that still leaves you 17,500 that you could put in a retirement annuity to bolster your tax saving towards retirement. The question is, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Do you target your tax savings or you target your tax your retirement savings? My answer always has been, you always look at maximizing your exposure to retirement savings. What do I need? Let me see the whole picture. What's my current age? When do I plan on retiring? What's the current inflation rate? What's the current interest rate? What are my current expenses? What do I think I'll need in retirement? And don't be prudent and don't be coy. Put it down because your lifestyle is important. The way you live is important. And those need to be done and those needs to be put into your retirement plan. And once you've got that figure, then you can say either I can or can't afford it. And depending on that, if it's more than I need to put in retirement, I can put away from a tax perspective. They can maybe look at other instruments that I can use. And if it's below that amount, how would I split it between my pension and my provident? The long and the short of it is when it comes to your retirement annuity, similar to a pension fund in most cases, it's a tax and a cash flow issue. Your deduction is monthly. In other words, how much can you deduct monthly? And that's what you work out. But it only comes back to you once you've done your tax return. So your insurance company will send a certificate to SARS. They will ask you also to send it to them so they can see exactly what you've contributed. And those of you who have done the SARS e-filing, you'll see how the two match up. And then you'll say, right, this is what I earned. This is what I contributed. And this is what I need to put. This is what I should be getting back from SARS, or this is what I still owe SARS. And rather than rushing through it, I'd rather leave the details for next week, where we'll be able to unpack it a little bit further. Just to Craig, thank you so much for pushing the buttons. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I've only got through a fraction of the questions that are here, but as the discussion continues, so we will answer all the questions. Craig, thanks once again. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will speak to you next week.